Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Luke, the 23rd chapter, we read about the time when Jesus Christ was on the cross. And of course, there were two thieves that were also crucified at the same time. We read how one thief said unto him, "To save thyself and us." And we read about the other thief making a request of Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Have we not heard many times people contend that they can be saved like the thief on the cross, that they want to be saved like the thief on the cross? Friend, this majestic event in bringing about God's plan for salvation of man, the crucifixion of Christ, it's so unfortunate that that event has been so abused and misused by false teachers to mislead and deceive people regarding the way that God saves man today. When people ask, "Well, what about being saved like the thief on the cross?" Well, I'm inclined to simply respond, "Well, what about him?" Friend, the thief on the cross is not an illustration of the way of salvation through Christ for us today, and I'm going to show you why. Now, there were two thieves that died that day with Jesus. One thief railed at Jesus, while the other sought his favor. And the response that Jesus made to the one seeking favor has given rise by false teachers to create false doctrines. Some contend that we can be saved like the thief, that is, by just simply request. Of course, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." Nowhere do we find that one is going to be saved, not since the day of Pentecost, by simply requesting salvation. Another false doctrine is that the thief is an example of what some people call deathbed conversion, something the Bible doesn't even talk about. And then another false doctrine, it's argued that baptism is not essential to salvation, since the thief was not baptized, and one can be saved only by faith. Well, the Bible teaches that we're not saved by faith only, Jude the second chapter. All three of these false doctrines are closely related, to be sure, but they're equally false. What does this passage teach us? What here is applicable for us today? Now, for what did the thief ask? He said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Friend, did the thief understand the nature of the kingdom that Christ was to soon establish? Well, possibly he did. Possibly he realized it would be a spiritual kingdom, not a kingdom of this world, because the Lord had taught that it was a spiritual kingdom. But if he understood that it was a spiritual kingdom rather than a physical kingdom, that would have been most unusual, seeing how that the apostles themselves still had misconceptions about the nature of the kingdom to be established. Did he know that being in the kingdom was the same as spiritual salvation? Now, he may have understood that, but he did not specifically ask for spiritual salvation. We have to remember that most of those who heard Jesus, they looked upon him to establish an earthly kingdom, a kingdom that would rival the Roman Empire, a kingdom that would shake off the Roman yoke from off the Jews in Palestine, a kingdom that would grant them national independence and a statue like in the days of David, in the days of Solomon. Was the thief an exception to this important understanding about the kingdom? Did the thief expect a miracle from Jesus? Now, that's what one thief asked for. But did this thief that asked, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom," Would he expect a miracle to be taken down from the cross and to be physically saved miraculously from his present plight? Again, we have to admit, this man may have had this in mind. He could possibly see the signs that identified Jesus as the King of the Jews. He may have known something of the works of Jesus. He may have understood that Jesus was indeed a miracle worker. But the fact of the matter is that we have to engage in speculation when we try to determine exactly what the thief had in mind. We're not specifically told, and we best understand his question by referring to the answer that Jesus gave him, because we would certainly agree that Jesus knew what he meant and that Jesus would respond accordingly. Now let us suppose that this was actually asking for the salvation of his soul. We can't prove that, but let's suppose that's what he was doing. Some people contend that's what it was. Some believe that this was the nature of his request. But now, does this mean that we can be saved that way? Jesus said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Well, wherever Jesus went that day, that's where the thief went. Now, where does the Bible say that Jesus went? In Acts chapter 2 and verse 31, the Apostle Peter preached that Christ, when he died, he went to hell. Now, wait just a minute and let's understand what's the meaning of this word. It's a translation of the word Hades, H-A-D-E-S. Hell is also the English word that's used in the King James Version to translate the Greek word of Gehenna. Gehenna and Hades are not the same, even though the same English word is used to translate them. Hades refers to that temporary, intermediate, unseen state of the dead. Gehenna means the place of an eternal torment. Now, it's not an error to translate both words by the one word hell. If you look in the more complete dictionaries of the English language, you'll find both meanings of the word hell. But the American Standard Version makes a distinction by translating Gehenna as hell and transliterating the Hades, giving it an English sound by calling it Hades. But Jesus was said to be going to paradise. Therefore, paradise, where Jesus went, was into that intermediate state of the dead. He went into that realm that is called Hades. It was not into heaven where the Father is. John 20 and 17 notes that even after his resurrection, he had not yet gone to the Father. Now, where Jesus went is the same place entered by Lazarus in Luke 16, and there it's called Abraham's bosom, the place of care and safekeeping. The rich man also went into this intermediate state. He went into Hades, but he went into torments. So Hades is divided into two parts, one place of torment called Tartarus. The other is Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Now, even if Jesus and the thief went directly to heaven, where the Father dwells, which is not the case, this event would not prove that this is the way that we get into heaven. We're saved by the gospel, friend. Romans 1 and verse 16. And at the time the thief was on the cross, the gospel was not yet in operation. It was not even complete. The gospel includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15. And these things had not yet been accomplished. So the thief lived and died before the gospel became the way of salvation. We're saved by the way of salvation through Christ, not the way that the thief may well have been saved. The gospel was first preached in Jerusalem on Pentecost. The thief lived and died while the Mosaic law was still operative. We live under the new will of Jesus Christ. While Christ was alive, he could dispense his blessings any way he saw fit. And this is what he did regarding the thief and many others. But after his death, the benefits through Christ come through his will. But let's illustrate. Do you know before 1913 nobody paid income tax? But suppose I try to get away from paying income tax by saying, well, the people before 1913 didn't. We live under a different system. The thief lived under a different system than which we do. And some say this is an example of deathbed conversion. The Bible doesn't know anything about deathbed conversion. Deathbed conversion is simply the idea that one can live in rebellion and disobedience to God, but when he realizes that he's about to die, he can call out to God to be saved without having obeyed the will of the Lord, and the Lord will save him anyway. Well, friend, the human being doesn't have a right to tell others that God will dispense of his blessings to mankind in contradiction to what the Bible teaches us, that we must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is this for us? Even if this was an example of deathbed conversion, does this really apply to you? Are you on your deathbed? Can you obey the gospel? Now, some try to deny baptism by saying the thief was never baptized. You can't prove the thief was never baptized, and I can't prove that he ever was. I know that John the Baptist preached baptism, and many were baptized of John for the remission of sins, but nobody's going to contend that he had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That was first commanded at Pentecost. The thief had already died. Others in the Bible who lived after Pentecost were saved by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Friend, the thief is not an example of conversion for anybody since the day of Pentecost. It's not the way that anybody can be saved today. We don't live under the same system as he did. The scriptures teach that baptism is necessary to be saved. The scriptures teach that baptism doth now also save us. The scriptures teach that we're baptized for the remission of sins. The scriptures teach that we're baptized to reach the blood of Christ. The scriptures teach we're baptized into Christ. Have you been led to think that you can be saved like the thief on the cross? Dear friend, you need not be deceived any longer. Study and see what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not uphold the thief as the way that man is saved by and through Jesus Christ. We're saved by the blood of Christ and his resurrection. That hadn't even happened at the time that the thief died. So do not pin your hopes of salvation upon the way that the thief enjoyed going into paradise with the Lord. To rely upon the way the thief received God's blessings is to attempt to appropriate to yourself something that simply does not apply to any person living today. To hear, believe, repent, and confess Christ, being baptized into Christ, that's the way man is saved today, and that's the way it'll be till the Lord comes again. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.